Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey there, folks. Before we start today's episode of the Chase Thomas Podcast, I'd just like to remind you guys that you can check out my daily sports column. It's free by going to sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com. You can just check out my Twitter to find the link there. Go check out chasethomaspodcast.com. There's a link on that page. But yeah, go check it out every day. New sports story in your email inbox. Yeah, go tell a friend, share it out, send it to anyone else you think would like the newsletter. But yes, every single day, go to sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com. Just Google Sports Renaissance Man, Chase Thomas, whatever you're most comfortable with, go do that. If you are an Apple Podcast listener, don't forget to leave this show a 5-star rating and review. It's important to help the show continue to grow. And last thing, very quickly, but please email me at chasethomaspodcast@gmail.com to get your mailbag question in or any other questions that you might have about the show, about the column, anything like that. New mailbag columns go up every Friday. If you have any questions for the weekly shows that you would like us to answer on air, whether it's John Taylor on Wednesdays, Evan Swords on Mondays, the sports reporters on Fridays, make sure to get those questions in and we'll read them on the show, or I'll answer your questions in the mailbag on the newsletter. So go do that. Again, that's chasethomaspodcast@gmail.com. Leave the show a 5-star rating and review. Follow on Apple Podcasts if you can. I think that's it. All right, Uncle Darren, let's go.
Chase Thomas Podcast. The Chase Thomas Podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, and welcome back to a Monday evening here on the Chase Thomas Podcast. I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, and I am joined, as I am every single Monday night, Evan Swords of 49ers Hub. Evan, good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing so good, man. How are you?
I got my tea. Got my hot tea. Yeah, I know. Yeah. You took shots, the blueberry. I will have you know this was not blueberry. I think it's mixed berry.
I think I like blueberry, though. I want you to know that. I like your tea situation. It's a fun thing to poke around at, but like, I think the tea situation at night is a really good look.
Tea's incredible. Tea is so underrated, and it's so calming. Like, a good chamomile, ooh, goes a long way. I squeezed in an episode of Sexy Beasts before this podcast with the girlfriend real quick. Have you watched any of that?
The sexy beat? No. I haven't really watched TV lately. Do you know what I'm talking about? No.
Okay, they go on blind dates, but they have to wear like this like crazy makeup costume. Like, you wear a costume, essentially. It looks like furries going on dates.
Oh, God. No, I don't want to. I want nothing to do with that. Is it like the Mask Singer or whatever, but with dating?
Yes.
Okay.
It's incredible. Great look. Enjoyed it a lot. I'm here for it. The ladies got me into all kinds of reality. Like, it's a great escape. Like, I very much enjoy, like, Love is Blind. Incredible. Love is Blind.
I don't know what that is, but I'm assuming.
Oh, I miss her so much. We're going to have listeners who know exactly what I'm talking about. What is your guilty pleasure then? We talk about, like, we know each other pretty well, Evan, but like, what is your guilty pleasure? What, when you're not doing 2.5 hours, killing some calories, working at a day job, hitting the pool, hitting some White Claws on the weekend, like, what is your guilty pleasure?
I mean, so really right now, and I think it's just like a matter of circumstance, like, I think we talked about it right during the beginning of the pandemic, like when you couldn't hang out with anyone, like it was like literally March 2020 is also when Call of Duty's like Warzone game came out, right? And like, so like in the beginning, it was just like, well, this is a way for all the homies to hang out, right? So we all bought the game and we all started playing, and then like. Everybody played in the beginning, and then like not everybody played, and I'm like fairly decent at the game, so like whereas I like got really competitive about it, and like I was like, oh, this is something I'm like half-ass good at, this is kind of fun. Some of my friends like stopped playing because it's like, oh, I don't give a fuck about this anymore, but that's definitely like my guilty pleasure. Like I have like Dalton, you know, the Cowboys writer from PFN, friend of the pod, and some other actually cowboy, like literally it's hilarious. So like Dalton introduced me to basically an entire like armada of Cowboys fans and writers that all play this game. So I have like met so many Cowboys fans because of it. But like right now that's my guilty pleasure. But the reason why that's my guilty pleasure is because I'm just kind of chilling. I've been renting this room, you know, in Santa Monica by the beach, and I'm moving into my own spot at the beginning of the month. And so right now, like I don't like my TV is literally up against the wall, unplugged. I don't have it set up. I don't really watch TV anyways, but I just, you know, not even set up. And I feel like once I get settled into my own apartment, right, I'll probably like, you know, get everything set up, get situated back into my own life. But like, you know, now I like, I'll go ride the bike on the beach, right? You know, I like walking around in the neighborhood. I'm like literally up against the bottom left corner of Santa Monica, right 3 blocks from the beach, you know? So like at night, you know, like going and grabbing like ice cream or going and just walking down to the beach, little things like that, right? Kind of getting my old guy on, you know, I've been doing a lot of walking.
Oh, please. Bike. You're nowhere near the old guy status. I'll be the judge of that.
For me, my hands are still in sport mode, right? So they're not behind the back, right? Mm. They're in sport mode, sort of in the front, ready to go.
Someone pointed out that I had my Crocs behind and it looked like I was there for business when I was walking around with some Crocs. Like the way you adjust the little handle, I don't know what to call it, that can go up or like in front of your foot or behind it on your heel. Like,
yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it sends a different message based on which way it's facing.
Yeah, sport mode. Yeah.
Oh, I love my Crocs. People joke about them. Until you put them on, you realize your comfortability. Like everything past 30 is about comfortability, man. Dry fits, incredible. Like why should you wear anything other than a dry fit ever again?
You know, it is very true. I remember when we were growing, like in our 20s, like, you know, it was always about Jordans and like Air Max 90s and Air Max 1s and Air Force 1s, some of the most uncomfortable shoes on earth, you know? And then like slowly but surely, like now I wear all my gym shoes or like the like Nike Epic Reacts, which are like, they're like, you know, the Adidas Ultra Boost competitor and like all like the really just comfy stuff. I'm always in joggers. Even when I go to work, I've got like, honestly, Chase, I mean this in the most, and there's no non-weird way to say this. Mm-hmm. I wish you could wear my joggers. I wish you could feel how comfortable these joggers that I have are. Oh, I was out. We were out downtown LA when it was like 85 degrees the other day. And everyone's like, Evan, oh my God, how are you wearing black joggers right now? It's so hot out. I'm like, feel these motherfuckers. There's so much airflow. They're just so comfortable. And I cannot stress it enough. I absolutely love the comfort.
Thank you for making it easy on which clip I pull from this episode of the podcast.
Yeah. Getting into each other's pants with Evan and Chase.
I don't think it would work for you. I don't think I could. I could reciprocate. I think my size doesn't really work for you. It would probably look ridiculous. Like, I'm a size 29 waist.
29? I think I'm 32. Yeah, okay. 32, 33.
Yeah. Tall and skinny, man. That's all I am. That's all I've ever been.
Yep.
It could be worse. It could be worse. Evan, we have some headlines to hit before we do an NFC West preview. You ready?
Yeah, definitely.
The Texans, busy week. I want to combine these because now they are reportedly listening to offers for Deshaun Watson, and you see people who are in the know saying it's going to take like 5 first-round picks, which gross, but also they traded for Anthony Miller because, you know, they had some holes. I don't know if you remember this. They had this guy named DeAndre Hopkins.
I've heard of him. Mm-hmm.
And he's also had a capital W week himself on the Twitter.com. But the Texans made a weird, like, he's probably gone after this year because this is the last year of Anthony Miller's deal. But he is excited about it. And I think he's just excited about not having Trubisky throwing football and maybe Andy Dalton this year. So maybe that's where it is. But then you look at it and you're like, my man, you're going to Davis Mills territory. What do you make of the trade first? And what do you make of Deshaun Watson and the Texans and Nick Caserio now listening to trade offers for Watson? Because it looks like none of this is going to get settled until 2022 because of the hearings and all that. Like, this is just going to be floating in the atmosphere. What do you make of all of this?
I mean, so Anthony Miller to me is one of those guys. He reminds me of the Devontae Parkers of the world, right? Where, like, this guy was a very highly touted draft prospect. And then, of course, he goes to the Bears, which is Mitch Trubisky, which is Nick Foles. You know, it's a sad place for receivers and quarterback alike. So I'm always excited when you hear about a guy like Anthony Miller getting dealt because it's like, fuck, get him out of there. But now he's going to literally the worst team in the NFL, right? The team is actual purgatory, you know. So I feel bad for Anthony Miller. I think that's a really unfortunate situation that the second that they get Justin Fields, that Anthony Miller is getting shipped out. That said, Darnell Mooney is one of the up-and-coming receivers for the Bears. And I think Anthony Miller's spot and position just didn't really exist there. So it's kind of a loose for Anthony Miller and a win for the Texans, I guess. You know, I don't know. But at the end of the day, what Deshaun Watson did or has alleged to do, you know, I don't know if I think I've told this story before, but I mean, we all know about the 20 plus charges. We all know all about that. But the one thing for me when it comes to Deshaun is, you know, my buddy who lives in Phoenix, Arizona, who used to play college football in Kansas, was at a barbershop the other day, or it was like probably 2 months, 3 months ago, something like that. It was like right after that information came out, and there was an NFL coach and an NFL player getting their haircut in there. I think they were training at Exos or something like that, and they were all talking about it. And essentially they were talking about how it wasn't a surprise. Everyone knew about it. And not only that, but that Deshaun had stolen a massage bench from the team. Like, literally stolen a massage table from his own team. And it was like a bunch of weird stuff about it that was like really insider information. Now, this is all hearsay, who knows? But when you hear like those stories, my long-winded point is, I just don't see Deshaun Watson might never come back to the NFL again, especially if there's like actual proof here and things like that. And I definitely don't think he plays this year. The fact that he was even back at camp was insanity to me. And I don't know if you like
fines reportedly.
Right. But did you read like any? So first off, you can go on the commissioner's non-exempt list, right?
I don't think he can yet. I think there's like a time, like he's going to be on it, but I think it's like the timing in the CBA. Like, I don't think he actually can until maybe when training camp actually, like, it's something weird. Like, you can't officially go on it till a certain date, I seem to recall.
Okay. Well, but so I don't know about you, but like today, one of the things that was really like kind of gross, you could totally tell that all of the NFL insiders were like basically pushing his agent's information.
Yeah.
Right. Cause there was so many headlines about Deshaun Watson still wants a trade, and the team, the Houston Texans, are not willing to trade for blah, blah, blah. It's like no one mentioned the charges. No one mentioned the accusations, nothing. It was just as if it didn't exist. And it just felt all really dirty. And I just don't know. I don't know. It felt. How did you feel when you read all that?
Well, I think it's a complete miscalculation by both Deshaun Watson and his camp, and also the Houston Texans camp, where I don't know what Nick Caserio and Cal McNair think they're going to get for him. Because I think when you look around the league, and there's only a handful of teams that still, like, Deshaun is a top five talent, I think, at his position, had a 92 grade behind that offensive line in Houston, and just what he's dealt with in Houston the last couple of years and what he's gotten out of that. Like, on the field, we all know what Deshaun Watson is. However, I don't see a path where there is not an insane, and rightfully so, backlash to a team trading for him. Like, Denver can look at it all they want, Miami can't, but guess what? Fans are going to lose their minds. And I don't mean lose their minds like erroneously. It's just like they're going to be like, are you joking? Are you really trading for this guy while the civil stuff is pending? He hasn't even gone to trial yet. Like, I don't think any of this is going to go well. So any team that's willing to give up multiple picks, like the optics of that is going to be atrocious. So when I see this, I'm just like, I don't know what world these people are living in. Like, you just saw what happened with Chauncey Billups. Like, this is going to be significantly worse. This is happening right now. This is on the forefront. People didn't know about Chauncey. Like, I remember reading that story a long time ago. I was wondering if that was right. Like, I remember all of this, but like, that was tough. Like, I didn't think he was going to get through. I thought him and Olshay were both going to get out. I mean, maybe that's still a possibility. But this is going to be significantly worse for Watson and his camp and the team who trades for him. Like, if that happens, like, I don't think anyone in this story is living in reality right now. That is my takeaway.
No, absolutely not. And at the end of the day, I mean, I feel so bad for always forgetting this quarterback's name, because who's the was in the Chargers, was also a Bills quarterback. Who's the quarterback right now? Tyrod Taylor.
Yes.
This is Tyrod Taylor's football team, is basically what I'm saying. I don't think Deshaun Watson, I don't think Deshaun Watson's anywhere near this team for a very long time.
No, I don't think so either. I still don't understand the leverage, and I just don't understand any team that's willing to give up this. Like, he may not even be allowed. Like, I don't know. I think this is awful, and I think it'd be a bad look by the NFL if he plays this year.
Oh, 100%.
But they don't care. I don't think the NFL cares. That is something we also know. And they'll be like, well, the team did it. Like, it's out of our hands. Your 49ers, though.
Yeah.
Gave Fred Warner, one of your favorites, an extension. Evan, what do you make of the extension? Do you like the deal? Anything you're scared about it? Is it well-deserved? What, for people who do not watch every 49ers game, what are they missing with Fred Warner and why he's worth this amount of money?
Okay, so, I mean, I am obviously the biggest 49ers homer in the world, but I need people to understand something if they don't already know this, but I do think it's pretty well-known. Fred Warner is the best linebacker in the NFL. I think his tackling, obviously, you know, that's what you expect out of a linebacker, is top notch. But you know, his vision, his speed, his lateral quickness, once again, top notch. But I think what really sets Fred apart is his coverage, right? So PFF showed that Fred Warner had some of the best coverage in the NFL last year in terms of covering people. I remember in I don't remember what game it was. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to dive too far into it. He is just one of the best He is, to me, the best linebacker in the NFL. I don't think it's that far of a stray to say that. I think it's pretty well known at this point. But I don't even want to talk about the skill, because I do think it's well received and accepted that he's the best linebacker in the NFL. NFL. What I want to talk about of why I think this is so important is you look at the history of the 49ers. One, the linebacker position is one of the most important positions for the 49ers, probably of the last decade, maybe longer, right? When you think about how much Patrick Willis meant to this team, when you think about how much Navarro Bowman meant to this team, right? These are two players that were guaranteed Hall of Famers, just consummate pros, great teammates, represented San Francisco perfectly, right? You couldn't really, like, Patrick Willis was like the perfect linebacker. Like, you couldn't build a better linebacker than Patrick Willis. And then Navarro Bowman came out and was like people were like, is he better than Patrick? Is that blasphemy? Can we say that out loud? Like, they were just like such great exemplary examples of the position. And then they got injured and they were gone. And it was heartbreaking for fans and the team and the coach and the owner, all the above. Right. And then they get Reuben Foster, who has that top level talent. He had the same, I think, to, you know, like, ceiling, if you will, that Willis and Bowman had. But as everyone knows, Reuben Foster had a lot of legal troubles and ended up getting cut by the team, got burnt by the team. It was a big lesson. It was basically arguably the first huge lesson that Shanahan and Lynch learned. So when you have Fred Warner, who could be considered the best linebacker in the NFL, and he is – I mean, I get it. There's a lot of arguments, and I want to say this out loud. There's a lot of arguments, though, for really good linebackers in the NFL. I think this is a great time for that position. But when you have Fred that is a stand-up human being, he's a great teammate, right? He came out, and, you know, not whether you agree about vaccinations or not, that's not the argument I want to have. He came out during the press conference when they asked him about it. He said, yeah, I'm vaccinated. This is a team sport. He's like, not only do I believe in the science and all that, he's like, but I want to be here for my team, and I don't want to do anything that jeopardizes that. I think it takes a man to get up on a conference like that and just say that out loud. So I think the 49ers – could not have signed that extension faster. It's well-deserved. And at the end of the day, let's take a look at it, right? The 49ers just extended the best linebacker in the NFL. They've extended the best tight end in the NFL. They've extended the best left tackle in the NFL, right? Like, these are some pretty key positions. Yeah. They also have, you know, Nick Bosa. Bosa will be coming up soon too, and this will be a very interesting year. But you know, so I think it just continues to solidify these incredibly important positions right before this cap increase is coming in like 2 years. It's pretty awesome.
I hope they saved enough money to add some corners. We'll get to the Niners in the preview, because I don't know if you knew this or not, but not great there. Aaron Rodgers turns out. I think Evan likes being in the news. I think Aaron Rodgers likes being in the news a little bit. And Andrew Brandt has been right about this all along. He's great to listen to. The Business of Sports, worked with the Packers for a long time. He was predicting that this would be it. Aaron would show up and then they would ride out. But this whole Last Dance thing with him and Devontae and them going out together and all this, and like, it's very theatrical, self-indulgent. I think what's going to help him, I guess, in the long run is that his team still has backed him. Like, it's going to be weird for the coaching staff and for the front office. Like, I think this is just weird and uncomfortable, but like, him looking at it as like, this is it, and then we're going to restructure and all this kind of stuff. It's not even about money. It's just about like you making it feasible for me to get out of here after this year. Being the biggest thing is odd, but you know, that is what he's doing. So it looks like by all accounts, he will not retire. He's not going to do any of that, which would have really stunk. Like, Aaron Rodgers just not playing this year would have been, it just would have been sad, man. I know you quote tweeted this tonight about excited for him to get eliminated by Shanahan again, but the NFC is better when Aaron Rodgers is around. The NFL is better when Aaron Rodgers is around. It's fun to watch Aaron Rodgers play football, and I'm excited that he's going to play this fall. I'm excited for just the stories after this year, because you know there are going to be so many great stories after this. Like, the book that's going to be written about this is just going to be phenomenal. like there's so much we don't know about what's gone on these last 6 months with Rodgers and his camp versus the Gutekunst and the Murphy camp. Like, I am so enthralled about this thing, and I cannot wait to read this book that eventually comes out on this. But what do you make of all this, and did you see it coming?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think we all saw it coming. You look at a guy like Rodgers, who's been outspoken since the day he became an NFL quarterback, right? He's never been afraid to speak his mind. And I think he cares a lot about loyalty, whether it's deserved or not. You know, I don't care what side of the camp you are on Aaron Rodgers. But I don't know that he's a guy that likes attention like that. I do think he is outspoken. I do think he's not afraid to speak his mind. But I don't think we have to look too far in the past for what I think is a clear justification for all of this. You know, a lot of people talk about, well, there was a possibility that the 49ers, Brandon Ayuk, was a target of the Packers, and that when he got taken before the Packers, they kind of panicked and took Jordan Love. But at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers gave them a Super Bowl almost immediately after taking over from Brett Favre, one of the most legendary quarterbacks of all time, and obviously the most legendary Packer of all time. So, you know, when you're Aaron Rodgers and you get a Super Bowl that quickly, and then you just consistently come up short year after year, and you watch this team, you know, not give you the weapons that you need, right? They've never really had a good running back. They drafted Eddie Lacy. That didn't work out well. Every running back since then has been kind of not a good look. I think that the Packers are the kings of getting receivers that are good enough, but in reality, it's really Aaron Rodgers that's doing this. I made the case the other day, and I'll say the same thing. If you take Julio Jones in his prime and Hopkins, and you put them with Aaron Rodgers, I think I guarantee that every single year they have better numbers than Davante Adams. And I think if you take Davante Adams and you put him into that quarterback carousel that Nuke had to put up with in Houston before Watson, I don't say he puts up nearly the numbers that Nuke put up. So when you think about Davante Adams is considered one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, obviously next in line to become the highest paid receiver. I'm not saying he's bad. He's obviously top four, top three, but I just think that all of the weapons that Rodgers has had over the years has been, you know, these are people that are doing well because of Rodgers as much as their own success. And I think it's similar in Seattle when you look at what Russell Wilson has done with Doug Baldwin and, some of those receivers who I've since forgot about. So I think Rodgers has a lot of reason to be upset. When they drafted Love instead of a weapon, when they went that entire season last or that entire draft last year without drafting a single wide receiver, right? This year, obviously, they did a pretty good job of getting him some weapons, and obviously maybe it's a little too late. But I consider Rodgers going, no, I'm fucking out of here. And now look what happened. Him going, I am out of here, made the team come back and void a year of the contract just to get him to come back and play this year. That's how serious Rodgers was. Rodgers was like, yeah, I'll give you one last year, but after this, I'm out. No trade clause, no franchise tag, I'm out. And that was like we've talked about this, right? We had a conversation about this before, but like players are getting power. They're getting a lot more power nowadays than they've ever had before. And like Rodgers straight up said, fuck you guys. I won't come to camp. I'll retire. And they were like, well, we have no leverage here. How about this? You play 1 year and we'll void your next year.
Do you want to revisit my Chase's Pro Corporation 15 minute discussion from a few weeks back?
I mean, I think the people know where you stand.
good times. Last thing, and we'll get to our NFC West preview, Evan. Chandler Jones, this is going to affect our Arizona portion of the podcast, but he wants out. Remember, we talked about this during the offseason of just like who they paid and the fact that contract stuff was not going well a few months back and that Chandler Jones was just not on their radar, and it was like, oh, if they're just not going to pay him, then he's going to want out. Like, he's looking for a long-term deal. He's earned it. He's been, I think he leads the league in sacks in the last 10 years. Like, he has done everything asked. He's one of the rare former Patriots to still be awesome or actually be better when he leaves the team, on the defensive side of the ball, Tom Brady excluded and stuff like that. But, like, I think he's really valuable. Like, I wish the Falcons could afford him if we weren't still in the red cap wise. Like, I'm just like, all I'm doing is just starving for Justin Houston for a year. Like, I have no dreams of a Chandler Jones, but a lot of teams should. Your team could use him. I don't think they'll trade him within the division, but, like,
God, no.
I'm curious. I mean, the Seahawks, like, the Seahawks are going to have Carlos Dunlap, and I forgot who is on the other side. Do you remember off the top of your head who's on the other side right now for that defensive line? It's two guys. It's two. Let's remember some guys, and I don't know why I'm blanking.
Well, they stole the 49ers, Kerry Hyder. Mm. And Kerry Hyder was one of the better. I don't know if that's exactly who you're talking about. They also have Robert and Kim Dimdiche.
Do they have Kim Dimdiche?
Yeah. But Kerry Hyder was the guy that took over when Bosa went out with the 49ers and genuinely was very good. I would imagine Kerry Hyder to start. It would be crazy if he didn't.
Remind me to send you. Oh, it's Alden Smith. That's who it is.
Alden Smith, I think, might not play this year, though. He's already having legal troubles.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he got in trouble this offseason.
Oh. Didn't even see that. Too much is going on. That I did not see the radar. Well, there you go. Well, we'll see. But yeah, I was like, I know there's another, like, let's remember some guys on this defensive line. Yeah, well, we shall see. But I highly encourage you to watch. I might have to go find some, like, Robert Kim Dichie high school tape for you. He was playing fullback and, like, running back and goal line stuff. And when I tell you, like, Kim Dichie's body and size for a high school kid versus the rest of the high schoolers, it was preposterous.
Yeah, I remember when he was coming out of insane. Just even when he was coming out of the NFL draft or coming into the draft, it was like one of the most ridiculous athletic prospects, period. So I can't even imagine what that man looked like as a high schooler.
Yeah, like as a sophomore, he was like 6'7" and just jack. Like, it looked insane. Like, it did not look fair. It looked like some Little Giants type stuff with Spike and the Little Giants. That is a great reference for you folks. Great.
Yeah.
Love Little Giants. Did you see Little Giants growing up? Were you a Little Giants guy?
I was very much so a Little Giants guy. I loved that movie. And what was funny too is, like, my dad was very, like, he was like a minor league baseball player. So my dad, like, never wanted me to play football, right? Because he's a baseball player in general, right? Like, wants your kid to follow in your footsteps. But he didn't want me to get hit and stuff. And I remember watching Little Giants and just being like so mad, like, why can't I play? I want to play. Love that. I loved Icebox. Love the annexation of Puerto Rico. Love the Alka-Seltzer in the mouth for foaming out of the mouth. Intimidation.
Yeah.
Great movie. Classic movie.
It holds up. I love Little Giants. Like, I still crack up. Like, I'm not going to lie. There are some times where I will go, if I need a laugh, I'll go to the YouTube clip of Spike's dad. Where he's like, where Al Bundy's character, why am I blanking on his name? Actually, in the movie of the two brothers, but his character is, it's Ed O'Neill, I guess, not Al Bundy, but
yeah.
He's like, he's given his pep talk in the backyard of his house, and Spike's dad's like, go, baby, go! And
yep.
That will never not crack me up when he just puts his hand up. Okay, that's enough. Like, go, baby, go! Love it so much. I knew dads like that growing up. Which naturally leads us, Evan, to our NFC West preview. I think it would be wise for us. I have a couple questions for each team that I want to get through, but I think we should start with your team, the San Francisco 49ers. Right off the bat, how many games will Jimmy Garoppolo start for San Francisco this year?
So, I mean, I think the best way to answer that is to just talk about what you expect from an injury perspective, right? I will say this. If he doesn't get injured, I think he plays the entire season. I think even a minor injury, he still probably ends up playing that entire season. Jimmy Garoppolo had a high ankle sprain last year. normally takes 6 weeks to come back. He came back 2 weeks after. We've already talked about this before, but he came back 2 weeks after that injury, re-injured it. And by the time he was healed up after that, the season was basically over, right? So I don't consider a high ankle sprain an injury prone type situation, right? Those things don't really give lasting damage. He tore his ACL, but it does seem like he's fully healthy from that. Was wearing a brace in the beginning, but for the most part, looks like he was healthy. I think he's going to come back healthy. I think it's about his mentality, his mental there, his confidence there. But Jimmy Garoppolo is, I've said it before, I've been saying it on a bunch of podcasts lately. Jimmy Garoppolo has the best offense he's ever had, and it's most certainly a better football team outside of that cornerback position that we're going to be talking about than the 2019 Super Bowl run. So I do think that people are going to – I'm trying not to be overt about it. I'm trying not to be loud about it. But, like, I just don't understand how you think Jimmy Garoppolo with Raheem Mostert and now Trey Sermon, who's a monster back, right? And then you bring in Wayne Gallman, who's a very good pass-catching back and also a good third-down back. He's a really sneaky good back from the New York Giants. When you have a good running game, which we know what Kyle can do with a good running game, I think this is a better running game than they had the Super Bowl year when they were running he didn't even have to pass because they were beating the Vikings. And then you go, okay, well, Brandon Ayuk was one of the best rookie receivers in the NFL last year, one of the highest graded PFF rated receivers last year, especially as a rookie. And this is his second year. We're expecting a huge leap from him. Deebo Samuel had some injury issues. We're hoping that cleans up, but even if it doesn't, right? Like we got George Kittle back. George Kittle was literally blocking 75% of the time during that Super Bowl run. Obviously, towards the end of the year, he was just basically blocking entirely for that run game. And I don't think he's going to have to do that this year. They drafted two massive, massive guards. Aaron Banks is literally bigger than my ego. I think he's about the size of at least, he's a tall skyscraper. He's a massive human being. So my rant entitled, I think Jimmy plays the whole year. I love Trey Lance. I'm so ridiculously excited for Trey Lance. I think Trey Lance could start week one and be perfectly fine. I really think he's that good, especially with Kyle's offense, especially with that run game. But I just think people just are so quick to hate on Jimmy Garoppolo. They're so quick to be like, oh, he couldn't throw that Super Bowl pass. Yeah, okay, he couldn't. He missed it. They lost the Super Bowl, whatever. But he also was efficient as shit with terrible receivers. Dante Pettis, who got cut, right? Kendrick Bourne, who was a third, wide receiver three at best. Like, these are just, they're not good receivers. So I don't mean to rant too much. This obviously is my football team, but I think we're going to be all very surprised about Jimmy Garoppolo.
It'd be great for the Niners, right? Like, but also, like, would it be one of those things where they would trade him before the season to a contender if he is balling out and he is healthy?
Because you can't do that. When Jimmy Garoppolo took a team, won 13 games, went to the Super Bowl, and was arguably a couple plays away, if he's got a better team, a better roster this time, I just don't know how you would even risk trading the quarterback during that type of momentum.
Saw a team do something similar last year, right, with Fitzpatrick and Tua, where they just pulled the rug out from under Fitzpatrick because they were like, oh, sorry, we gotta see what we got in Tua here before the next year's draft because we might have to.
How on earth is that the same thing?
No, what I'm saying is, like, teams have to do this, and, like, they are figuring stuff out, and they would like to know sooner rather than later.
But we're talking about a potential Super Bowl run. If the 49ers win five of the first six games or four of the first six games, you have to keep going with Jimmy. Well, you can't screw that up. You can't mess up the momentum.
Yeah. I guess it depends on internally what you think your realistic chances are. I mean, the NFC is a lot more crowded than the AFC, I would say, too.
I absolutely think that the 49ers, if they get, I mean, once again, and this is the thing that I'm trying, like, I'm just waiting for other people to understand what I consider to be very easy logic. Mm-hmm. Jimmy didn't play that great the Super Bowl run. Like he was efficient, quick passes, short passes. He had a couple. I mean, remember that year he had one of the highest deep ball percentages in the NFL. He didn't throw a lot, but whenever he did throw past 20 yards or whatever, he was hitting them. He had a decent year, but it wasn't anything fantastic. And they went to the Super Bowl. They have a better roster this year. How do you not sit there and go, well, if they went to the Super Bowl that year, why can't they do it this year?
I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying it's a more difficult road. That's what I would say. It's just the NFC is loaded. The NFC is still just loaded. And your division's loaded, as we'll get to on this podcast.
I think the 49ers are going to absolutely be one of the five best teams in the NFL this year. And the biggest thing with that team is if the 49ers don't do well, it's because of the quarterback. And guess who the fucking backup is? Number three overall pick, Trey fucking Lance.
Not CJ Beathard.
No, I don't know. I think he's probably at storming the Capitol or something. I'm not sure. You can cut that out if you need to.
Allegedly. Best worst offseason draft move. What was your favorite offseason? It could be like an offseason move or a draft move or your least favorite for the Niners.
Oh my gosh. I mean, there's so, I mean, obviously the best is you got to go Trey Lance, right? To be, you know, I mean, I feel like obviously that's the layup. That's the easy answer. Just because, right? He's arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the draft, might even be the most talented overall. It's a big move for the 49ers. We've talked about it before. You don't usually have a team with that type of roster and you go out and draft one of the best quarterbacks in the draft. So I think it's a very exciting thing. But there were so many things this year that happened for the 49ers that I think were really exciting. Obviously, I love the extensions. Being able to extend Kittle, Trent Williams, Fred Warner, right? That was pretty great. In terms of like free agency stuff, oh, by the way, they also re-signed Kyle Juszczyk, one of the best fullback in the NFL as well. You know, they brought some key pieces back. But I think if I'm like going, okay, right, what is your most exciting thing? I want to say, I'll go both sides of the ball. Samson Ebukam, the defensive lineman slash edge rusher from the Rams, is a very good pass rusher. And now he gets to go and play with Nick Bosa. I think that might be one of the most underrated things the 49ers did all year. D Ford, by the way, is said by some of his teammates to look better than he's looked in an entirely long time. It looks like he's actually ready for camp. We were all convinced that D Ford was literally going to have to retire. And people are saying he's like genuinely like looking good. So when you have both of those people, I think that's a very exciting thing. So I think the obvious answer, right, is you went out and got Trey Lance. But I am excited to see what Samson Ebukam does next to Nick Bosa, and I think we might even have a better pass rush the Super Bowl run.
Well, you're going to need it because this leads me to my next question. The difference between Jason Verrett, who is the eighth best corner per PFF last year out wide for San Fran, of 121 that qualify. Opposite of him, it looks like Emmanuel Mosley, who number 73, 121. Are you at all concerned with the drop-off there? And also, are you more comfortable with Williams or Mosley at that corner spot opposite of Verrett?
So, Emmanuel Mosley has had very high highs and some very low lows. Whereas I know he's ranked very poor last year. He had some really good games. And even the year before that and other times, he has come in and he's had some very good tape. Okay. So I don't think you can lean on that. But I don't think he's as bad as it seems. And I think he can play good football. He was, you know, he was a guy that Richard Sherman really mentored a lot. Jason Verrett's kind of the weird kind of like asterisk, if you will. Jason Verrett clearly had one of the best years last year as an NFL cornerback, legitimately, right? He like literally was one of the best. He had some of the best pass breakup, best completion percentages. He just was an absolute beast last year. It was a great story, having had all the issues with injuries and things like that he did. So, you know, it all to me comes down to who stays healthy, right? If we get a fully healthy Verrett all year like we did last year, that gives us a lot of opportunity, right? Dante Johnson, like, you know, I mean, this is a, I'm going to shout out my White Claw people, right? Like, we make the joke that the mango White Claw flavor, I call Dante Johnson the mango White Claw because, like, whereas mango White Claw is literally in every single pack of White Claws, it seems like the second pack, the third pack, right? The whatever. Dante Johnson is on every single 49ers team. Like, he's gotten cut so many times. He has gotten re-signed, you know, all these things, and he just keeps coming back. Dante Johnson and Emmanuel Mosley are going to be kind of those guys. They're going to probably be coming in and out, trying to do as good as they can. But at the end of the day, you know, D.L. Mondore Lenore is a defensive back from Oregon. I'm obviously, you know, a big Oregon guy. He, to me, is probably the guy that has the biggest chance of starting right away. He's a very, very athletic corner. And I do believe that by the end of the year, if we do have a fully healthy Verrett, Lenore is going to be the starting corner opposite of him. Outside of that, Ambry Thomas probably won't start right away. I mean, it has a lot more of a uphill battle in terms of, like, you know, needing to get there, but he's a really good cornerback out of Michigan. We're really excited about him, but not expecting him to play much in the beginning of the year. Maybe not at all this year, depending on how everybody else stays. But outside of that, though, you have to forget Jimmy Ward is literally one of the best safeties in the NFL. Jaquiski Tartt, these guys have gone from like struggling as rookies. Like, I don't know if you remember the game yourself, but like Jimmy Ward is like known infamously for getting baptized by Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey when both of those receivers, it was the first game of the season, the first ever home game at Levi's Stadium, and Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall were both doubtful to play, game time decisions. Both ended up playing, and because of Jimmy Ward, they ended up both having like career games yardage wise. So he's come a long way and is now considered one of the best safeties in the NFL. So I think you're not wrong, right? The backfield is going to be the corners and the defensive backs. The safeties for the 49ers are definitely going to be probably the biggest area of worry. But there is definitely reason for hope.
Running back, leader in target carries this year will be who, Evan?
It's so hard. It's so
you
wanna hard.
Say Sermon.
No. So that's I want Sermon to be. So here's why I say it's so hard. Wayne Gallman legitimately is like a really good pass catching receiver, right? He is.
He was really good last year.
So, you know, Jeff Wilson's out for 6 weeks, so it's not going to be him. Raheem Mostert looks like he got injured a little bit, and he's going to be coming into camp. So, you know, who knows? But he was catching the ball a little bit too. Elijah Mitchell is kind of sneaky, right? Elijah Mitchell is like very speedy. He's like almost a little Raheem Mostert, and he's an undrafted free agent. And what does Kyle do with undrafted free agents? He turns them into Pro Bowlers.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, in theory, you got to say, well, Raheem Mostert's going to get the ball the most. Right. Part of me
won't get the opportunity. Like, it right. is to lose. Yeah.
It is.
He's earned the trust.
But then you go, okay, well, what about Trey Sermon? Trey Sermon is one of the best running backs in the NFL draft list last year. And I've been begging for Kyle Shanahan to have actual talent drafted rather than bargain bin shopping. Not, you know, no disrespect to Mostert, but like, you know, when everyone's like, oh, Mostert's one of the best running backs in the NFL, I'm like, well, yeah, that's what Kyle can do with an undrafted free agent. Imagine what he could do with a second rounder. So I think the ball is going to get split up a lot this year between Mostert and Gallman and even Sermon. But if I know my 49ers, and I think I do, I think Wayne Gallman's going to play that Jerick McKinnon role. I think Sermon's going to play that Jeff Wilson role where he's going to only come in if somebody gets injured. Mostert will do the Mostert thing, but Mostert's probably going to get injured like he always does. And then I think Sermon comes in and takes over, and I don't know if he ever gives that position back. We'll have to come back to this halfway through the year.
I don't know. Fingers crossed for Tevin Coleman. Last thing, we'll wrap up the Niners, Evan. How does the schedule look? When you look at this Niners schedule, what does it feel like to you, wins, losses-wise? What stands out to you on this schedule?
So that's kind of the thing to me that's so great about like the Buccaneers and what they get to do as a football team and as fans. It's like when you look at the Tampa Bay Bucs, right? They got all their players back, all their starters come back, and you know what you're getting from Tom Brady, right? So it's like you can really look at that schedule and go, okay, well, we know what happened last year. What happens this year? There's so many variables with the 49ers that it's really hard to like truly be able to guess. But if I'm guessing, and I do think Jimmy's going to have a great year, you know, I think that they beat the Lions week one. I think they beat the Eagles week two. I think they beat the Packers week three. I think they beat the Seahawks week four. I think they beat the Cardinals week five. The Colts, it's hard to tell, but I think they beat them too because I think Wentz sucks. The Bears, I think that they can beat the Bears. I think they can sweep the Cardinals. Maybe, you know, let's say split. They got to lose eventually. Kyler Murray's exciting. They played the shit out of the 49ers last year, right? We know they're going to beat the Rams because I'm going to be at the game, so it's going to happen. Jaguars to me is a win. Vikings is probably up in the air, so I won't really call it. Seahawks will probably split. Bengals is going to be a win, right? Falcons, what do you think? That's you.
Where is it?
December 19th.
Is it here or is it? It's in Atlanta.
Pretty sure it's in Atlanta. Yeah.
I don't know. I seem to recall Niners having success in Atlanta. I would say lost though. I don't think we'll be trending up by that point.
Yeah. So, but my point is, it's like we're already 11, 12 games right there. The Titans game is going to be a really tough game. I'll be at that game, by the way, in Nashville.
Wait, are you coming to Nashville?
My best friend is a Titans fan, and his birthday is on Christmas or the day after Christmas. So we'll be.
Ooh. Well, you got to make a. What if Tennessee and the Vols are playing Saturday? I know.
I will most definitely be not watching that and be getting hammered in Nashville. Well, you're welcome to join.
That's too much West Tennessee. I'm a East Tennessee.
Yeah. I know. But then they play the Texans and the Rams. So my point is I to answer your question, I think they have an extensively large amount of very winnable games this year. I think they have a very easy schedule. I do believe that their strength of schedule was rated as one of the easiest in the NFL. So it's the 49ers season is prime for the taking.
The Seahawks. Yes or no, this is the last year for Russell Wilson in Seattle.
I fucking hope so. I don't think so. I think at the end of the day, I don't know. I don't think that I see Wilson go anywhere. What I do think, though, is if they really blow it this year, if they really blow it, you might see some other things. And it just depends. Does Russell Wilson really want to leave? Did he really want to go to Chicago?
Yes.
Is that a thing? If we think that's a thing, then maybe. But, like, I think Wilson is so corny. Mm-hmm. Right. He's the ultimate cornball. Like, don't you think Wilson wants to, I want to have my career end in Seattle. I want to be a Seahawk for life. 12s for life. Right. Like that just seems like some shit that Russell Wilson would say. What do you think?
I think he wants to go to a bigger market. I think he wants to get out of the West Coast. I could see him just being, I don't know. I think there's a reason the Jets were on that list. The Giants, the Bears, the Saints. I think they're, I don't know. I'm not sure. Like, I think Russell Wilson just strikes me as somebody that is ready to move. I think it would be a little bit more difficult if the Super Bowl stuff did not go differently. Like, him having the Super Bowl win doesn't give him any kind of worry. Like, he gave Seattle a Super Bowl. So, like, when you're guys like that in that position, I think you get a little bit, you feel a little bit better about the whole legacy thing of, like, I don't, it's not like I have to stay here. It's no unfinished business like Matt Stafford in Detroit or something. Like, it's like, no, I got you a title. And I went to another and lost in crazy fashion. I guess that was kind of my fault, but whatever. Do you think they can contend with this defense offense disparity?
I mean, I have watched them contend for 10 years while having a very subpar team. Well, I mean, in the first 5 years, they had the Legion of Boom. But I recently...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're just so offensive heavy now, and they bring in Shane Waldron from L.A. to recreate McVay's offense. But Pete Carroll's a defensive guy, and this defense stinks. And I don't know. You look at Trey Flowers, who was one of the worst pass coverage corners in football last year, and you got questions there. You got questions on the defensive line. You talk about Alden Smith and Carlos Dunlap and just questions all across that defensive line. You got Bobby Wagner, which is great. He's elite, but, I mean, how much can he and Jamal Adams really, really do to keep this thing going? And then you look at Chris Carson. Chris Carson's actually just, when he's healthy, really great. It's not just because he went to my high school. Like, that's an irrelevant part of it. But I don't know. I am curious how much Shane Waldron makes a difference here and whether or not the Seahawks can realistically make it out of the NFC with a below average defense.
For me, so once again, if the question is, can the Seahawks compete? I think they always can compete.
Well, it's not about whether they can compete.
No, that's what I'm saying, though. See, what you just said, though, is what I think we were talking about. Can they make it out of the NFC West? And to that, I say hell fucking no.
Yeah.
Because the 49ers to me, and I think I hope I did a good job of explaining it. I think I did. But I think the 49ers are going to be a powerhouse this year. Mm. And I genuinely am terrified of Matthew Stafford with the Rams. I think Stafford's a significantly better quarterback than Jared Goff. I think we saw what Sean McVay was able to do.
Let's hold that. We're going to get to the Rams in a second.
So, but to answer your question, the Seahawks have to get past the Rams and the 49ers.
They didn't get past them last year. Like, it's easy to forget, but they couldn't.
It was harder this year, too.
Yeah.
So, no. I think it's absolutely no.
I agree. When you look at the schedule, so they got a rough patch. It starts off easy and then or it starts off hard. So I think people are going to talk themselves in, like, when I look at the schedule, I think people are going to talk themselves into it at the end of the season, because I think the Seahawks are going to go on a run. They're going to struggle early on, kind of like what they did last year, and they're going to figure some stuff out, because after getting the Niners at home on December 5th, they get a primetime game. They get the Texans on the road, the Rams, the Bears at home, who'll probably be starting a rookie quarterback at home, the Lions, the worst team in the NFC, and a Cardinals team that may have already fired their coach by this point. Like, that's four or five games down the stretch they're probably going to be favored in. And if they're around 500 by that point, they'll be looking at four to five games over. And they're like, oh, they're getting hot at the right time. There's a lot of getting hot at the right time vibes with this Seattle schedule for me.
Yeah, I mean,
it won't be real, I guess is what I'm saying.
Listen, no fall from grace in the NFL is ever graceful, you know? So the Seahawks are going to have to come down soon. And I think they'll have a very fun offense next year. I'll say that.
The Rams, we talked about them a little bit. Lost Brandon Staley to the Chargers. Just moving a little bit over, placed him with my guy Raheem Morris. I think he's close with McVay, I seem to recall, going back to Washington and all that. But Matt Stafford, obviously the big thing there. But they lose Cam Akers, for the year. So he's gone, but I think he'll be okay. Like, people keep talking about Todd Gurley, and I'm like, Daryl Henderson's awesome. Like, what are you doing? Like, he's just sitting there. Just, it's fine. Like, you don't need to do anything. I think they're actually okay at running back. They did also win a playoff game last year with Jared Goff, though. Like, this offense was unbearable. And I don't know. I think it's, like, not even, like, a slam dunk. They go farther because the NFC's loaded. But do you think Stafford this year advances the Rams farther than where Jared Goff got them last year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that question because I don't know that – so those are very apples to oranges to me. Mm-hmm. I think – I don't know if Stafford can get as far this year because of how strong the division is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they can definitely get the playoffs.
Yeah.
But this playoff is the new playoff, you know, entry is kind of weird, right? So I don't think Jared Goff got them to where they got last year. I think there was a lot of things that got them to where they got last year. Mm-hmm. But I do think for the Rams this year, I think Matthew Stafford can really have his hand on the wheel with how well the team does, mm-hmm. in a way that Jared Goff never could.
Yeah. Do you like the Morris at DC to replace Staley? Are you at all concerned that Brandon Staley put together this number one PFF defense last year? Or are you just like, no, Jalen's back. Aaron Donald's back. They're going to be fine.
You know, I mean, shout out to Brandon Staley. He's a great coach. And obviously the Chargers have become my, you know, probably second favorite team. You know, my AFC team, shout out to Justin Herbert. But I think you said it yourself.
Joe Burrow guy on this podcast. I don't know. So like,
No, I'm talking about me, not you. This is you. I understand your love for Joe Burrow, and you'll hear all about that when the 49ers play the Bengals.
Are we doing? Do we already do our AFC North preview? We haven't actually. So
no, not yet. But I just think that what you're talking about, right? Aaron Donald's the best NFL player in the NFL. He's right overall the number one best player in the NFL. I can't find many. I can find many other ways to say that. I don't know how else to say it. Jalen Ramsey is probably, you know, the best cornerback in the NFL or one of. Those two play very well together. I'm just curious to see what, like, did you know who Samson Ebukam was?
No.
Because I certainly didn't when we signed him. And then all of a sudden I started hearing about all these feats that Samson did last year and how well he played and how honestly, like, really underrated he was. And that's kind of the thing I'm curious about the Rams.
It's also amazing they were 13th in offense with all the problems last year. Like, they had a lot of offensive problems and they were still 13th and the defense was first. I think there's a real chance that the defense falls back to like 7th or 8th, but with Donald and Ramsey, I think it's just too much talent. And also, just like Darius Williams has actually been really good opposite of Jalen. And I think he'll be great next to him again this year. But I don't know. I think they're looking like a team that will be top 10 in both. And I think they're real Super Bowl contenders. I really do. I think they have a really good shot of making out of the NFC. And if I had to do it, NFC, like, if I had to bet my life on most likely to reach Super Bowl of the four NFC West teams right now, it would be 1 Rams, 2 Seahawks, 3 Niners, 4 Cardinals. And I know that might irritate you, but it's really just because I don't know if Garoppolo is going to be healthy, and I don't know if it's going to be a rookie quarterback in week 13. Like, I think that's still a real possibility. So they have to be lower than Wilson and Stafford for me. But Cardinals, we'll get to in a second. It's very a distant 4 for me right now, especially after moving on from Chandler Jones and bobbling that situation. And D-Hop might not even be playing this year. But yeah, do you think that is a fair assessment?
I mean, I wholly disagree with your Super Bowl take. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's really just because of, you know, my opinion with the 49ers. I'm obviously not doing a good enough job selling it because I thought I really did. And apparently you didn't believe a single fucking word I said. But yeah, I think the Rams lost a lot of internal pieces that we might not know about. I think Cam Akers is a big loss. Everyone's like, yeah. So. Well, okay, but like, here's the thing, man, and here's what you have to understand. And you can look at the counterpart because it's the same thing with the Rams as it is with the 49ers. You have to have depth at that running back position. Sure, the 49ers. Okay,
well, good.
No matter what, no, you're Depth doesn't mean do they have a backup. Depth means do they have a large pool of players that they can take off of. You just lost your best running back. So your depth, if you have three good running backs, you just lost 33% of your pool. That's a large drop in depth because you don't have 33% of your pool anymore. They keep saying, oh, they like Daryl Henderson. They'd like Daryl Henderson. I think on Twitter I saw analysts and just people in general say they like Daryl. I think they like Daryl Henderson like 400 times.
A lot of Memphis. Dude was a monster. He's a little bowling ball.
Daryl Henderson should play well next year, especially with Sean McVay. We know what he can do in that Mike, you know, that Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan offense. But when you lose your best running back, who they expected a lot of this year, that pool gets much more shallow and you don't have as much to go off of. And I think the same thing can be said for some of the Rams, free agent losses, right? Like, sure, you got Matt Stafford, and we got to expect a lot out of Matt Stafford and Sean McVay's offense. But what happened to the little pieces with the Rams team?
I don't know. I think they're fine. Like, I'm concerned about Rapp and Fuller out back. They don't really have – their linebacker situation is some of the worst in football. I don't love their pass rush. I don't know how you feel about Leonard Floyd, but it's just amazing when you look at that defense. Not a lot that scares you outside of Donald and Ramsey, but they do scare you a lot. Offensively, I'm just most concerned when it's not Cam Akers, it's Whitworth. And we saw what that team what happens when you lose him, and he's in year what? Like,
right.
15? I think it's year 15 for him, because I think he came out of LSU in 06. But he's really great when he's playing left tackle, but like, this offensive line needs him. Stafford needs him. Like, this whole thing, like, Whitworth has to
make it for 1 year.
Like, they have to keep that dude healthy.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, when you talk about their offensive line, right, we're looking at Austin Corbett, who's played, you know, well at guard.
Rob Havenstein's good.
Rob Havenstein is good. I mean, he's 6'8", 330. Damn well better be.
Looking in a mirror for me.
I don't know, man. That's kind of the thing I'm talking about. And I don't want to sound like a broken record, but like, sure, there's some exciting pieces in there. And you look at Matt Stafford, that's great. But like, how do you feel about that offensive line? How do you feel about their receivers? How do you feel about
a lot?
Obviously you like
Cup. Jackson, I'm going to forget. Is it Ram for at least 5 weeks into the season?
Deshaun Jackson is not going to do anything on that team. He is like 400 years old. But seriously,
he was good in 2019. Like, he was objectively.
You're going to get the same thing you get out of Deshaun Jackson for the last 3 years. You'll get a couple bombs. That's it.
But I mean, that's all they're asking him to do, right?
I guess maybe, but I mean, like, we'll see. I will say this. Robert Woods is a very solid receiver. I think he's a very solid receiver. Cooper Kupp is consistently just a fucking demon.
I'm concerned about Van Jefferson. I was pretty high on him coming out of Florida. He hasn't done anything. I wonder if he gets some opportunities.
Yeah.
I don't know. The last team, a team that we both are, I think, out on, in the Cliff Kingsbury experience, but a lot's going into that year. I like Kyler a lot. I don't know. The Chandler Jones stuff, hot. Like, everything about the Cardinals scares me right now. What about you? What do you think of the offseason that they have had? Do you think this is the last year of Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona?
I don't think it's the last year, but I mean, for not my sake, but for Kyler's sake, I hope it is the last year. I think there's definitely some good pieces there that they added in terms of, like, you know, Rodney Hudson, great center. You know, Marcus Golden resigning is not that big of a deal to me. Malcolm Butler, I'm not necessarily sure how I feel about that. Malcolm Butler could be at least a decent signing, but you're looking at getting rid of Patrick Peterson. So, I mean, is that a wash? I think it might even be less than. I don't know what the J.J. Watt thing does for me. If Chandler Jones is gone, it doesn't do shit. I'll tell you that much.
Yep. I think a lot of people are just going to see the name and miss it. Like, J.J. Watt is not nearly as important, because we know how many snaps he's going to play versus right. Chandler Jones. Like, losing Chandler Jones is huge. And also, they lost Haason Reddick as well.
They really, yeah. So they lose Haason Reddick, right? They obviously lost Kenyon Drake. Is that a big thing? Big loss? Who knows? So, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Budabaker's great. We should mention Baker's.
Budabaker's great.
But outside of like Isaiah Simmons, I guess is fine. Jordan Hicks is not good.
No, but Isaiah Simmons is not fine because they still don't know what the fuck they're doing with him.
Yeah.
What I will say is though, is Byron Murphy is a beast. He's a little demon too. The corner from Washington. Mm-hmm. He played great last year. Like it infuriates me how great he played last year, and he played that well last year specifically. That's why Patrick Peterson is gone.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested in if AJ Green has anything left in the tank. I'm excited to see that. He's just someone I've always wanted to see.
AJ Green has nothing. He has less than nothing.
I'm not a believer in the James Conner stuff. Like, he was bad last year, and I don't think
really so. Shout out to friend of the pod, Stephanie Smalls. Mm-hmm. We actually talked about this pretty extensively. James Conner's such a weird situation because his first year as a rookie, when the lights were shining on him brightly because they were asking him to replace the best running back at that time in the NFL, Le'Veon Bell, he played very well. He obviously had a lot of good pieces in there, Antonio Brown, Juju, right? Like, he had a good situation and supporting cast to make his job a little bit easier. So I think we've seen him play very well and very good football, but obviously he struggled mightily last year when they didn't have as much help. I think James Conner is going to do more with Kyler Murray and how quick and fast and mobile that Kyler is than he did with Ben Roethlisberger. I expect us to see an uptick in James Conner. I think if you're a fantasy football player, you take James Conner if you can get him. But yeah, I mean, he's going to play better than he played last year, right?
I don't know. Depends on that offensive line. We'll see. This schedule, like, I'm going to go ahead and predict. It is July 27th. I'm going to predict that the Cardinals clean house, the Bidwells clean house this offseason. I think this is going to be a disaster. With Cliff.
Do you think they have the balls to admit defeat on Cliff that fast?
Yeah, because I don't – like, the offense isn't good enough. Like, they were, what, 18th last year? Like, the one thing that he was going to bring where you're like, I'm not sure about his coach acumen, but we know the offense is going to be elite. It's like, no, hasn't. Like, it.
And it wasn't not only that, but it was like all it was Kyler.
Yeah. Like, I don't think he's shown nearly enough to warrant another year. Because the NFC West is just too tough. And can I let me run through their schedule. And you can count the wins here. You ready? Tennessee on the road to open. Loss, right?
Oh, yeah.
Vikings at home. I think that's a loss. Vikings are better.
Yeah.
At Jacksonville. That's kind of a toss-up. I'll give them that.
I'm giving them that. Yeah.
1-2. At Rams.
That's a loss.
Niners at home.
That's a loss.
1-4 right there. At Cleveland.
That's a loss.
1-5. Here we go. Hot seat for Arizona. Like, I don't know how they don't start off on the hot seat. Houston at home.
That's a win.
2-5. Packers at home on prime time. That's a loss. 2-6. At San Francisco.
That's a loss.
2-7. Panthers
at home. Well, let's give that to them, though, because once again, I don't want to give it to them, but I think it's fair to say they genuinely play very hard against the 49ers, and the 49ers did struggle last year with Robert Saleh with a mobile quarterback. So you tell me, do we give that to them?
Let's give them one split. Yeah.
Let's split it. 3.
Okay. So what is that? 3 wins?
Yeah.
Okay. Carolina.
I think that's a loss.
Okay. Still 3. At Seattle in late November.
Yeah, I think that's a loss.
At Chicago in December, this offense in a freezing cold Soldier Field.
I mean, that by December, Justin Fields is playing, so that's a loss.
Okay. Still at 3 here, by the way. Rams at home, primetime.
That's a loss.
At Detroit.
That's definitely a win.
So we're at 4. Colts at home.
That's a loss.
At Dallas.
That's a loss.
Seattle at home to finish the year.
That's a loss.
4-13.
They can split any of the NFC West games, so you can give them a three game swing.
And they're still going 7. Best case scenario is 7-10.
Yeah, the best case scenario is 7 or 8 games, genuinely. And like, if they have 7 or 8 games, like,
they're gone. Like, Cliff's gone.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. The schedule's not good. This is a bad schedule for the Cardinals. Bad schedule for Kingsbury if he's looking to save his job. How do you see it unfolding? I'll make my prediction. I think it ends up being Rams. I think Rams win the division. I think Seahawks get a wild card, and I also think the Niners get a wild card. And the Cardinals are awful. That is my prediction. What about you?
Oh, I think the 49ers win the division handedly. The Rams are pretty close. I'd say 2 games behind. And then most definitely from there, it's going to be the Seahawks. Seahawks probably win 10 games, maybe. I'd say 10 games. We got an extra game this year. And then after that, I'm going to see the Cardinals with like 4 or 5 wins.
Yeah. It's going to be bad for them. It's going to be a bloodbath. In Zona. All right, man. Where do we go next week? We have finished the NFC, right? Or do we still have one more? Who have we forgotten? We forgot anybody? Oh, the East. We have to do the East next week.
Yeah, we'll have to. We'll see if Steph Smalls is available to come back on the pod and talk NFC East and her Giants.
Yeah. I will not be kind. Be
my guess. She really has faith. God bless her.
I mean, she should. That division's awful. Just awful. But we'll get to it. Evan Swartz, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for making the time. We can find you on Twitter at Evan_Swartz. Anything you would like to plug as we wrap up here tonight?
Just plug in the Chase Thomas podcast, boys.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to 49ers Hub. Follow me on Twitter. So, because then I have like, I think, a quarter of my 9,000 followers, and I want all of them back. I will come find you, motherfuckers. So help me God. No. Yeah, man. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, buddy. Well, you can listen to Evan and I every single Monday night talking all things NFL. We'll have a different guest. If it's might be Stephanie Smalls, it might be Giants beat writer than I have in mind. It might be Cowboys writer. It could be Dalton. You could bring Dalton back.
We could bring Dalton back on. That'd be great.
We could bring Dalton back.
Always like Dalton.
There you go. That's what's fun.
Pleasure.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.